So without looking at that outline, what do you think is the easiest way to present the gospel? What's the easiest way to share the gospel? Live it. Okay. Somebody getting it saved by the way I live? Yeah. You do need to live it, but that's not going to get it. It's not going to get there. Yes, sir. Open God's Word? By meeting their needs. Are they going to get saved by you meeting their needs? That's the bridge that you're going to have to take the gospel across. Okay? So I'm talking about actually sharing the gospel. Okay, story. So your own story, a testimony. Good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Got to be lost before you can be found, right? Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Y'all laugh at Terry all the time when he says stuff like that, but Terry's got a point. That may be the best way. You can get him here. Yes. Okay, build a relationship. Again, that builds that bridge. But at some point, after you've built that relationship or you've met needs or whatever, you've got to take the gospel across that bridge, right? I didn't hear from a lot of you. I think probably many of us are tempted to say that there are no easy ways to share the gospel. There aren't any shortcuts when it comes to evangelism. Now, when I was a teenager, about 50 years ago, when I was the age of some of you young people that are here today, I would have had a very simple answer to that question. Attract. In fact, early in my ministry, I wrote a tract. The church that I was pastoring at the time, we printed that tract, published it. We used it in our evangelistic efforts. In fact, I think when I came here into this church, I still had a few of those left over. And I think we did use them here in the outreach here at Midway. And there are still lots of situations where a tract is a good method of evangelism. It's a very low risk, low prep method of evangelism. Anybody, even a child, can hand a tract to somebody, can hand a tract to anybody. There, you know, leaving a tract in a restaurant is still a great idea. I think airports are great for tracts. Phone booths used to be great places to leave tracts. But when was the last time you saw a phone booth? Now, why are there no phone booths anymore? Yeah, too many tracks. No. Jim is nearly as good as Terry this morning. No, because everybody has a smartphone. And because everybody has a smartphone in his hand, tracts just don't have the impact that they did 50 years ago. They don't really even have the impact that they did 15 years ago. The digital media that we all carry around in the palm of our hands has become so all-consuming for most people in our culture that printed material like tracts, it just is kind of back of brain now, right? It just does not pop. So why not take advantage of that smartphone that's in everybody's hands? The easiest way to evangelize today is with an app called The Story. And so now we're going to see if Carl and I are on the same page. By means of this app, you can show someone the story of the gospel. It's about a 5-minute video, and Carl is going to go ahead and, I hope, play that video for you at this time. Now, you want to pay close attention because there will be a quiz.
There is only one story that answers life's most essential questions and gives a lasting sense of purpose and meaning. It's the story that inspires all other stories. It's the true story that defines every one of us. This is that story. How did it all begin? Like all stories, this one begins in the beginning with the author, who is God. He spoke everything into being. With a word, galaxies appeared with stars and planets. Earth was designed for life to flourish. Everything God made was gloriously good and breathtakingly perfect. The highlight of God's creation was the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. God entrusted everything He created to His beloved children, giving just one rule. They were not to eat fruit from a specific tree. They lived in loving obedience, worshiping God as their heavenly Father, and enjoying perfect harmony with creation, each other, and God. Considering our world today, it's obvious perfect peace didn't last. Turmoil, war, sickness, troubles. We each have our share. What went wrong? It started when a fallen angel named Satan grew jealous of God and determined to ruin the perfection of creation. Satan took the form of a serpent and enticed Adam and Eve to question God's goodness and rebel against His one rule. In disobedience, they ate the fruit, and peace unraveled, ushering in sin and death, which still plagues us today. If we are honest, we are very much like Adam and Eve. We all rebel against our Heavenly Father, making our hearts heavy with fear, guilt, and shame. Our bodies are weary with sickness, disease, and death. Earth is afflicted with storms, calamities, and disasters. Even worse, sin has separated us from God, causing a permanent divide, a miserable separation called hell. The fallout of sin has been catastrophic. It's inescapable, with no way to fix it, leaving us all to wonder, is there any hope? The love that prompted God to create us also prompted Him to send a Savior who would set everything right again. As centuries passed, God shared exact details of the coming Savior's birth, life, and death. Everything in the Bible points to this rescuer. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth as God the Son to fulfill the promise. He was born miraculously, as His mother was a virgin. Just like us, Jesus grew up and experienced life on earth. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned and always obeyed the Father. When Jesus was in His 30s, He began teaching all around Israel, pointing people to God's kingdom and performing many miracles. After a few years, He was wrongly accused and sentenced to an agonizing death on a cross. Jesus lovingly gave up His perfect life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. He died a perfect death, taking our place, the innocent for the guilty. But the grave couldn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, God brought Jesus to life again. Jesus defeated sin by dying on the cross and defeated death by rising from the dead. Today, Jesus sits at God's right hand as King and Judge over all creation. This is the story of rescue God has authored. He invites us, through repentance and faith, to make His story of rescue the one we trust in and live from. When we do, everything changes. And now, what will the future hold? For everyone who trusts in Jesus alone for rescue, God has promised to restore your heart and set you free from sin's hold. Because God is loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, tender-hearted, and true. God has also promised to make all things new. One day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, forever free from sin. Everything that causes pain and sadness will be gone. God has also promised to be with us forever. The moment you trust in Jesus, your relationship with God is restored because Jesus has closed the divide sin caused. Getting to know this all-loving God starts today and continues forever. For God's story never ends. You can make God's story the foundation of your life even now by admitting your need for God's rescue, asking forgiveness for your sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to rescue you, following Jesus in faith from this moment on. This is God's story. Will you make it yours?
This morning, I'm going to give you the invitation not at the end of the message, but at the beginning of the message. So, how many of you are willing to download that app on your phone? All right. Let me tell you how. The website is spreadtruth.com. The name of the ministry is spreadtruth.com or spreadtruth. A friend of mine, a graduate of Bob Jones University named Jerry McCorkle, started this ministry. He leads the ministry. Jerry was actually part of my staff when I was the vintage editor many, many years ago at Bob Jones. And they've just done a tremendous job packaging the gospel in a way that's appealing, in a way that makes it very easy to share with people. So here's what you do. You go to the App Store, whether you've got an Apple phone or whether you've got an Android phone. You go to the App Store, you search for The Story, and make sure you download the app that's from Spread Truth Ministries and put it on your phone. You don't even need to sign up in order to use the app. So the app looks like that. See, if I was a digital native, I could get it up on the screen. But there's a login, there's a sign up. I don't have a login. At least I'm not sure if I have a login. But you see up here those three little lines up there. Do you know what that's called? That's called a hamburger menu. Did you know that? Because it's supposed to look like a hamburger. You know, a piece of bread, the meat, and then the bread. So those three things, that's called a hamburger menu. You learn something today, right? You learn something today. So you just hit that little hamburger menu, and then one of the selections on that menu is share. You hit share, and it will start to play that video. So you download that app. You have a powerful presentation of the gospel in your pocket. Anywhere you go, anytime you have your phone. Now, in addition to the app, there is a printed version of the story. And I want every one of you to have one of the printed versions as well. So the ushers are going to come right now, and they're going to give every one of you a printed version. And here's why. Sometimes your phone runs out of juice, doesn't it? Sometimes you can't get a signal. Sometimes there are some of you don't have a smartphone. This is not something that appeals to you. The idea of using technology, you're not a digital native either, and so using technology, you would find that difficult. If you can't do anything else, if you have this booklet, you can read the gospel to them. Because just about everything that was said on that video is found here in this booklet. Or if you believe that somebody would not do well trying to open that app, trying to click a link and watch a video, then sending this is a good idea as well. So I would encourage every one of you, keep this in your car. Keep one copy of this in your car. Keep it in your purse, ladies. Now, we ordered about 200 of these. We're going to keep them in stock. But this is the printed version of what you can find in the app. Now, you all know the easiest way to share the gospel. Okay? Message is over. We can all go home. Now that you know the easiest way to share the gospel, let's talk a little bit. How is that presentation of the gospel that you just heard different from the plans of salvation that you might have learned in the past that you might use for evangelism? Okay. Okay. And that's a reason to have this, because the scripture is in here. That's a good point. How else? Starts with creation. Okay. Starts with the relationship from God to man. Good. Yes. Okay, so a person who's a visual learner, who processes things visually, is going to be drawn to this. Good. Yes. Ah, very good, very good. It relates it to what's going on in somebody's life right now. We'll come back to that. That's great. That's a great observation. Let me share a couple of thoughts, a couple of observations that I had as I thought about the difference between this presentation of the gospel and presentations of the gospel that I learned growing up, that I have taught myself to you. And I hope that through sharing these observations that you'll get excited about the story. So first of all, number one, the story intentionally presents the gospel in terms of a biblical worldview. In terms of a biblical worldview. How many of you have ever heard the phrase biblical worldview? Okay? If you students at Bob Jones University haven't heard that phrase, your parents are wasting a lot of money. Okay, I hope that you have definitely heard that phrase. Now, what's a world view? What is a world view, Jermaine? Your foundation of what you believe. Your method of interpretation of what's happening around you. The lens that you look through, that you process the world through. So these are great answers. It's how you look at the world. It's how you think the world operates. How you think the world works. Why things happen the way that they happen. Your place in the world. Everybody has a worldview. Even if you've never used that word before, even if you've never heard that word before, everyone has a worldview. All of us have attitudes and values and stories and expectations about the world around us that influence how we think and how we react and how we decide things and ultimately how we live. I actually like the word life view as much as I like the word worldview, because ultimately what you think about how the world works determines how you live. Now, because many people have never thought about their worldview, at least in any kind of a logical, connected fashion, oftentimes their worldview is actually self-contradictory. And by that I mean, many of us, If you asked us what our life view was, or our worldview, if you asked us, like Jermaine said, what the basis is on which we live our lives, we would say, it's this. And yet many of us, even Christians, when it comes to how we actually react, and it comes to how we actually decide things, and it comes to how we actually live, it's more over here. It's a different set of values and expectations and stories and understandings. So many people, you have to understand, live with very contradictory worldviews. So what are the elements of a biblical worldview? You just saw them. There was a word at the beginning of each segment of the story that you just saw. So most people that understand, have anything to do with writing in this area of a biblical worldview, basically say a biblical worldview is creation, fall. Normally the word that's used for the third one is redemption, and then restoration. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. In other words, a biblical worldview is basically the big storyline of the entire Bible, starting from Genesis and ending in Revelation, right? Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Now, they didn't use the word redemption. Apparently, Jerry is very careful not to use words that might trigger people. And the word saved, is a word that a lot of people perceive as being very churchy, as being very evangelical. And so instead of using the word redemption, instead of using the word save or saved, the story uses a more neutral word. I might call it a more modern word, and that's the word rescue. Creation, fall, rescue, restoration. Now, I can make a second observation about the presentation of the gospel that we just viewed. The story intentionally presents the gospel in terms of a meta-narrative. I know some of you are scratching your heads and you're saying, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Now, I realize that meta-narrative is a $64,000 word, but let's step back and let's take it apart and let's figure it out. What's a narrative? What's a narrative? It's a story. So this is called the story, so that makes sense, right? So far, so good. What does meta mean? Meta comes from the Greek. It comes from the language of the New Testament. It's used scores of times in the New Testament. It means after or beyond. What were you going to say, brother? Bigger? Okay, beyond. So it's the idea of beyond a story. It's the big story. In fact, it is the big story that overarches everything, that explains everything, that explains everyone. That's why it's not called a story. It's not even the story. It's the story. I like that. You should have two E's. The story. It is the story. It is the story that explains you. It is the story that explains me. It is the story that explains any person you're trying to evangelize. This comes back to the observation that Karen made a few moments ago. It explains what's going on in somebody's life right now. Everybody connects with the story. Now, what are the other meta-narratives today that compete with a biblical worldview, that claim to explain everything? Okay, Marxism, basically claims to explain everything in economic terms, that everything has to do with economics. What else? What other meta-narratives are out there today that claim to explain everything? Okay, evolution, normally it's not called evolution, it's normally called naturalism. Naturalism is that the only thing that's out there is nature. Nature, as the world around us, is what has always been and always will be. Another word is materialism. There is no such thing as soul. There is no such thing as love. There is no such thing as anything. It's all just atoms colliding in random fashion. Materialism is just a really encouraging life view, isn't it? You are nothing but random atoms colliding. What's the purpose? Yes. Okay, the Big Bang would be part of that. Any other meta narratives? Yes, sir. Okay, postmodernism, which basically says there is no truth, there is no explanation of anything. Your explanation is just as good as my explanation. Another very hopeful meta narrative. Can you think of any others? There's another one that's really big right now. Okay. And so most religions would have their own worldview. Hinduism has a worldview that everything basically is God, and that is an explanation of everything. Yes. New Age would be kind of a Western version of Hinduism. Okay, that kind of an explanation, that pantheism. Yes. I am looking for critical race theory. Critical race theory is a meta-narrative that claims to explain everything. And that's why when people say certain things that don't make sense to you, you've got to understand, it makes sense to them because they are in a completely different worldview than you and I. But we, as Bible-believing Christians, get this. We would claim that there is only one true meta-narrative that truly explains reality. By the way, critical race theory does not explain a lot of reality. It just basically denies it. But we would say there's only one meta-narrative that explains everything in reality, and that is the biblical worldview, the biblical meta-narrative. And because of that, this biblical meta-narrative, this biblical worldview, is a great basis for presenting the gospel for at least four reasons. Okay? First of all, number one, duh, it's a story. There is no better way to communicate than with a story. Think about it. Would you rather hear a 10-minute lecture or a really good story? How many of you are voting for the lecture? No, we all want to hear a really good story. Why is that? I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't know that any of us can really explain why it is that we all would rather hear a good story. All I can tell you is I think it must be part of human nature. It's part of the way God created us. Think about how much money people in our country spend to hear stories. How much money do people spend on movies? Movies are nothing but stories. Last year it was north of $11 billion of their hard-earned dollars. How much money do they spend on television in one form or another? Television is nothing, well, maybe a little bit, but probably a good two-thirds of it is nothing but storytelling. Last year, television was a $175 billion industry. Think about fiction. fiction books, whether it's in hardback, paperback, e-books. Fiction is nothing but what? Stories. In fact, they're made-up stories. And we would still rather read those made-up stories. I had a little bit more trouble finding this statistic, but I think it's somewhere north of $15 billion. If you put all that together, that's over $200 billion that people spent just to hear stories. But I base this understanding on an even more important observation. When God communicates with human beings, most of the time it's in the form of story. Over 50% of this is narrative. It's either history or gospel. God communicates to us in story. Who's the greatest teacher that ever lived? Jesus Christ. In Mark 4 says that He did not teach without parables. What are parables? They're not just stories. They're made up stories. I mean, think about this. Jesus understood that stories were so important to us that He made up stories to communicate truth. And so the idea of communicating the gospel via a story The story, the big story, the greatest story ever told. This is a really great way to communicate the gospel. In the second place, the story, the big story, is a great tool for communicating the gospel because it sets the gospel in its context. All right, Carl, we're going to try it here. Can you see that? It sees you. It's a nice blue eye, like mine, like my wife's. Now, I have here an entire package of Snickers candy bars. And I will give this entire package to anyone who can tell me the painting from which that eye comes. Any takers? I hear some whispering. Anybody going to give it a stab? Pretty difficult, isn't it? It's pretty difficult to know what painting this comes from. All right, Carl, let's show them. Now. It's a great painting, isn't it? I'll give a candy bar to anybody that knows the name of this painting. David, what? American Gothic. Who said it first? Can you catch this, Jonathan? I don't think she can catch it. Now, I'll give two of these to anybody who can name the painter. I thought I knew the name of the painter, but I was wrong. I thought it was by Whistler, but it's not. Anybody know? No, you can't look it up, John. Leave it to Pastor John to Google it. He's a digital native, you know? And I'll give three candy bars if you know where you can find the original painting right now. Wait, who said that? All right, she knew. How did you know? You've been there. There you go. Don't share these with Dr. Bob. All right, thank you, Carl. We did it. We got through it. Now, we had a little fun. But you got to get my point here. My point is that when you put something in context, it changes everything. it makes everything much more understandable. Now, many of us learned to share the gospel without context. Can I repeat that? Many of us learned to share the gospel without any context, just like that blue eye. How many of you, the first presentation of the gospel you ever learned was the Romans Road? Okay, many of us. Okay, so what's the first point in the Romans Road? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the second point? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Third point, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Last point, Romans 10:9. And I don't think I can quote Romans 10:9 from memory, but if we, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. May I suggest to you that the Romans Road is much like that picture of the blue eye. It does not give us the big picture. And here's the thing. 50 years ago, or longer, when I first learned the Romans Road, we could depend on what was essentially a Christian culture to communicate that big picture. I did a lot of street evangelism when I was a teenager. There were very few people that I ran into that when I started into the Romans Road, they didn't understand who God was or who Jesus was or who what sin was. They had that context. We don't live in that culture anymore. There is a reason why today our culture is being called a post-Christian culture. And that's because many people do not understand that big picture. We can no longer depend upon that. And so we need to make sure that when we are communicating the gospel, we're also giving them that context. And the beauty of the story is that it gives them the whole ball of wax. It gives them the context as well as the gospel. And that brings me to my next point. The story, the big story, is a great tool for communicating the gospel because, in the third place, it answers life's biggest questions. Now, I'd like you for a moment to take this little booklet and open it. You'll notice that each section of the plan begins with one of those big questions. First question is what? How did it all begin? And that section also answers a couple of other big questions that people have, which is basically, who am I? Why am I here? What's the second big question? What's the second section? What went wrong? And this is big explanatory, as Karen pointed out earlier, because it also answers the questions, why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to me? Why am I suffering? What's wrong with me? What's the third section? Is there any hope? Which also answers a question which I think weighs heavily on many people. And this is where the story connects with many people. And that is there a way out of my predicament? I have gotten myself into a hole. I am trapped. Is there a way out? And then finally, what will the future hold? And again, answers that question which many people have. Is there life after death? What happens to me when I die? This answers the big questions that most people have. And then the final reason that the story is such a useful tool for communicating the gospel is that it meets every person at the point of their need. It meets every person at the point of their need. Now, many plans of salvation, like the Romans Road, begin with just one problem. They're focused on one problem, one need. What is that? Sin. For all have sinned. The wages of sin. Now, understand, that's an essential problem. You don't take care of the sin problem, you go to hell. And that's why the Romans Road has been a very useful plan of salvation for so many years. It does deal with that essential problem. Every human being must deal with the sin problem if they would know God and live with Him eternally forever. But here's the thing. When we're presenting the gospel, it's wise to begin with persons where they are. And most people are not thinking about their sin problem. Most people have many other needs and many other problems that preoccupy them. Now notice, I didn't say that they have other problems that are more important. They have other problems and other needs that are consuming them. And so the problem right now with that Romans Road is that somehow I've got to take a person's face and I've got to take his face away from the problems that are consuming him and somehow get him to focus on the sin problem. The beauty of the story, as someone said at the beginning, is that this immediately sets us in the midst of our relationship with God. And part of that relationship with God are the problems that I'm having now, but is also that sin problem. And so the story very naturally draws a person into understanding that God is not only the solution to his sin problem, it's also the solution to other problems that he's having ultimately. Now, because people are consumed by their problems, by these needs, they can see themselves as part of the story. And in fact, I believe this is where the big hook is with regard to using the story for evangelism. You need to know one key question. So get this, you need to write it down. This is the key question if you want to get somebody thinking about the story in the right way. And that is a question: how is the story your story? How is the story your story? Now, if you're going to throw that line out, you don't want to reel it in right away. How is the story your story? If you're going to put that bait out there, you need to let it sit for a while. You need to let that person think about it, because it's going to be a lot more powerful if they figure it out for themselves rather than you telling them. Now, I wish we had time. I really did not know how long this presentation was going to take. I thought we'd have about 15 minutes for discussion right now, and we would discuss some major problems that people have and how they can be connected to the story and how people can be drawn in. Maybe we'll do that in the second service if we have some time after the business meeting is over. Because making that connection between how messed up somebody's life is right now and the story, making that connection is how we draw somebody into the gospel with this gospel presentation. So, as I conclude, let me give you some very clear directions for using the story to share the gospel, okay? The story intentionally provides several methods to share the gospel. So first of all, you can just play the video for somebody right on your phone. When you hit that share from that menu, you get a screen that looks like that. And that screen wants you to register. Spread Truth wants to know how often this is being used to, you know, to share the gospel. You don't need to register if you don't want to. If you want to do this anonymously, just hit that big blue button down there that says share now. Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean share. I'm ahead of myself. You can just hit watch. And it will immediately come up. And you can sit there and watch the video with somebody. Now, how are you going to get somebody to do that with you? What question would you ask somebody if you wanted them to watch that video with you? I would say something like this. I have a story that I think you would really love to hear. And it's really made an impact on me. And I actually have a video of that story. Would you be willing to spend 5 minutes with me and watch that? Now, if this person is a friend, I think they'd be willing to do that. So all you need to do is to ease into this. And then here's the nice thing. This becomes very non-threatening after that. All they're doing is watching a video. And here's the other nice thing. They can't argue with the video. I guess they can tell you to stop it. They can walk away. Most people aren't going to do that. They're going to get the whole nine yards. Isn't that wonderful? They're going to get the whole gospel if they're willing to let you show them that video. So that's the first thing you can do. You can use this on a personal one-to-one basis. The second thing that you can do is that you can email or text the story to a friend or a loved one. So again, you go back to the hamburger menu. This is where I got ahead of myself a minute ago. And you hit share. And then you hit the blue button at the bottom, share now. And it's going to give you various ways through your phone that you can share this with somebody. So you can share it by means of an email. You can share it by means of a text. And what it's going to do is it's going to dump a web address into that email or into that text. When they hit that link, it's going to take them right to the video. Now, it's also going to put some words in there. So they're going to say, you know, watch this video because if I were you, I would personalize that text. I would personalize that email. Make sure you don't mess up the link. Make sure you use the link, but personalize the email, personalize the text. I'll bet you have somebody right now, if you thought about it for the next 30 seconds or 60 seconds, that you ought to be emailing this link to today. That you ought to be texting this link to today. Saying, this story has meant so much to me, it's had a huge impact on my life, I'd like to share this story with you. We can talk after you listen. Just can you get any easier way to share the gospel than that? I don't think so. And then number three, you can share the story maker with children. What about children? This is a little high level for children, but they have exactly this same kind of thing, except it's designed for children. And so, Carl, if you can start that second video, I want you to see this. I especially want you that are parents and grandparents to see this, because this is just a wonderful way to share the gospel with children.
You don't have to go far to find a good story. Some stories we read in books. Some we live for real. Others we stumble into. There are lots of good stories. But there's a special one. A grand story of how everything came to life. From animals and nature, to planets and stars, and you. Even in this beautiful story, some things are sad. Some things are broken and scary. The story doesn't stay sad, though. There is hope in this story. A light to show us the way and to make everything better. Does that sound like the sort of story you'd like to hear? Well then, let's start at the beginning with the one who made this story. God. Everything that is all around us was created by God. He released the clouds from His hand and hung the stars in the sky. He dressed the trees with leaves and taught brooks to babble. God even made the first people and breathed on them to wake them up to life. Their names were Adam and Eve. They loved each other and the world around them. And most of all, they loved God. Everything was perfect. But things aren't perfect and wonderful today. All of us have moments of sickness, fear, and sadness. What happened? Well, God had put Adam and Eve in charge of the world and everything in it with just one rule. Don't eat fruit from a certain tree. But God had an enemy. His name was Satan. He didn't like God or God's perfect world. He wanted to mess it up. So Satan pretended to be a snake and tricked Adam and Eve into eating from the one tree. Tasting the fruit sounded like a good idea, so Adam and Eve disobeyed God's one rule. With that one bite, Adam and Eve lost their perfect friendship with God. Just like Adam and Eve, we mess up and disobey God. This is called sin. Sin is why all our stories have sadness and sickness and bad things. Unless our sin is made right, we will be far away from God. Our sin is a big deal, but God's love is bigger. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, God promised that one day someone would come to rescue us from sin. Who would it be? Well, it was God Himself. God made Himself a baby, born to a young girl named Mary. She named Him Jesus. Just like us, Jesus grew up and lived out all kinds of stories. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned and always loved Father God. when Jesus was a grown-up, he started teaching about God's story and did amazing things called miracles to prove he was God. Some people didn't like Jesus, though. They lied to get him in trouble and have him killed on a cross. Jesus could have stopped them, but he didn't. Because he loved us so much, he chose to die for our sins. Everyone who loved Jesus was so sad that he died. They cried as they buried him. But 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. He came back to prove his love was bigger than sin. Today, Jesus is sitting in heaven and is king over everything. This is the true story of how Jesus came to rescue us from sin, just as God promised. So what's next in God's story? God made another promise that one day, everything in the world will be perfect again. He will make us a new home, with no more sin. Everything that causes us pain and sadness will be gone. God also promises to be friends with us forever. The moment you trust in Jesus' story of rescue, God comes near and won't ever leave. Being forever friends with God starts today and goes on and on and on, because God's story never ends. Would you like to be a part of God's forever story? Well, God made a way through Jesus, and even though we choose to sin, God still loves us very much. If you are sorry for your sins and believe Jesus is your only rescue, God will forgive you and make you a part of his story forever.
There is a print version of the Story Maker as well. We have not stocked these, but if you wanted one for children, you could order those from spreadtruth.com. I particularly recommend this video to you parents and grandparents. You know, this is the kind of thing that you ought to play from time to time with your children. I mean, I think a child even as young as 4 can understand a lot of that story because it's put down on that level. And here's the thing, it begins to build that biblical context that is missing in the lives of so many children today. Our culture is not teaching that big picture. It's not teaching that biblical worldview. It's not teaching that meta-narrative. And a child doesn't have to know all of those big words to begin to understand the truth from Scripture. And so this not only is a presentation of the gospel, it's also a presentation of the big picture of what the Bible teaches. And so it's a great resource for children, for parents, for grandparents. I began with an invitation. I'm going to close with my text. Just before Jesus ascended, he gave his final command to his followers, his final command to you and me. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Jesus loved lost individuals enough to die for them. We ought to love lost individuals enough to share the gospel with them, especially when it is so easy to do in this way. Could I have every head bowed, please, and every eye closed? In the next few moments of silence, will you make a commitment, number one, to download that app, and number two, to share the story with someone this week? Whether it's by sending a text or an email or doing it in person, will you make a commitment to download that app and to share it with someone this week?